Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August 8th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few minutes, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, 21 developing nations are working on a plan to salvage the failing global trade talks known as the Doha Round of the WTO. Brazil says it is not satisfied USDA has complied with the cotton ruling made last year by that same body. And a group of U.S. senators are looking into potential manipulation of cheese traded at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincolnland Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat down 9 cents at 384. December contract at 405 and a quarter, off 8.5 today. September wheat in Kansas City, by the way, down 14¾ cents at $4.69¾. September corn from Chicago, $2.35¾. They were down 4 cents today. December contract at 253, down 4. And the March futures off 4 at 267¼. December contract in the corn pit at 301¼. Down 4¾ for the day. Soy complex now. August soybean futures, $5.57½, down 5¾. September futures at 562½, off 4¾. And November's at 576¼, down 5¾. November 2007 contract, 4½ cents lower at $6.32½. Bean meal futures August contract, they were off 12 today at 26.04. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange, 116.12½, up 12½ cents. August live cattle at 85.35, they were off 7½ cents. And the October live cattle at 89.92½, up 2½ cents. Lean hogs finished unchanged for the August at $71.42½ a hundredweight. A quick look at the outside markets. Crude oil, September contract, $76.34 a barrel. They're down 64 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,178. It's down 41 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Kind of an interesting day at the Chicago Board of Trade after yesterday's release of the crop production numbers, or not crop production, but the crop progress report. Crop production numbers, of course, not due out until Friday of this week. Futures traders taking a look at those numbers and saying, hey, crop's a little better than we thought. Maybe we better take it a bit lower. Is that right?
I think the weather premium was saying goodbye to the markets here today again, Todd, as we continue to see rains across Iowa, Missouri, Central Illinois, and Southern Indiana. That, along with some of the rains that have fell earlier in the week and the forecast for more, and the stabilization of the crops after all the hot weather with the rain that we saw the previous Friday with the crop report not showing deterioration, basically sort of put the lid on things for at least the meantime.
Might this be a good thing should USDA come out with a fairly large number when they come out Friday morning with the crop production numbers?
Well, I think, basically this will somewhat tempered what the USDA will say if it is a large number and that the weather premium already being taken out of things. It's just like the wheat, we've heard it advertised about how short wheat is going to be, but yet today we moved below the 100-day moving average, and it did continue to move gone down just because we've already talked about it. But spring wheat harvest is, you know, it's at 49% done with an average of just 17% done at this time. So we're moving right along. In some areas, the yields are worse and some they're better. So, but we're moving right along in the wheat harvest, too.
What are you hearing about old crop and anything that farmers may need to move yet before harvest for any reason?
You know, Todd, we as we hear or look at that, we know that a lot of government loans were due to expire here at the end of July and by the middle of August here. So we know that there's a lot of bushels that either have to remain in storage or be moved because they're still out there because the loans matured. So, you know, we are looking for the basis to stay wide. In the meantime here, to see if the farmers will empty up any space by all these bushels they have left on hand.
If they have storage and availability, are you suggesting that they hang on to those bushels into next spring?
Well, of course, there's carry, Todd. And of course, I mean, if they're in good shape, that's an option. There aren't that many people that have got enough room for half of last year's and all of this year's crop is probably the big problem we see.
And what are your expectations for the rest of the week for the market? Will it finally settle down at this point? Is this far enough down?
Well, you know, we're not 100% sure, but we'd like to possibly believe that we're sort of going to be sideways into the end of the week here, maybe even just a little buying spurt, just on the idea that we're, you know, coming into the report and there'll be a little evening up as far as that goes. So it, you know, as the weather continues good like this, it's going to be awful hard to get much of a rally going.
Anything to report from the Mercantile Exchange of importance for the day?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we were just to the live cattle. They were trying to be higher at mid-session. They closed just about unchanged. But the actually, the beef movement was only 130 loads, and for Wednesday should be about 300 loads. And it sort of tells you they're waiting around to see how the week goes or how the cash cattle trade here to see if we want to keep this upward momentum alive. You know, we're thinking that it's getting somewhere close to a time to maybe be hedging some cattle, Todd.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens every Tuesday afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
A couple of notes. State fairs start next week on Tuesday. We should be at the Illinois State Fair in the old Pabst Saloon. That's where the University of Illinois will set up for the day on Ag Day, Tuesday next week. Come by and visit us at the Illinois State Fair. And next Thursday is, not this Thursday, but the following one, is the 50th Agronomy Day right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Be sure to drop by and see us out on the South Farms. Your chance to talk with the researchers that take a look at the information that you provide them and try to distill some important information for you to use in the field. That all next week. Be sure to stop by and see us at the fair on Tuesday and come and visit us at Agronomy Day here on campus next Thursday. Dave's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, a group of 21 developing nations and the World Trade Organization say they'll meet next month in Rio de Janeiro to try to keep the Doha round alive. Brazil's foreign minister says the meeting on September 9th and 10th will strategize on unblocking failed global free trade talks. Other nations that will attend the meetings include Argentina, China, Egypt, India, Thailand, and Mexico. A group of U.S. senators are calling on the GAO to look into whether cheese trading on the Mercantile Exchange is susceptible to price manipulation. Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold says in town meetings, producers raise the issue.
Years ago, the Green Bay Exchange determined the price of cheese for most of the country. And there were concerns about manipulation there and claims that Kraft had an undue influence there. Now some people are asking whether similar problems are occurring at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. I'm not saying that there is manipulation, but I think it's time we examine it and look at it, and I'm hoping that the Government Accountability Office will do a study of this so that we can know whether there are any problems or whether we're getting a real straight scoop on what the prices should be for milk and cheese.
Senators are also asking what role, if any, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission or other federal agencies play in overseeing the CME's cheese market. A new study from Rabobank's Food and Agribusiness Research Group says the global surge for biodiesel products is driving demand for vegetable oils to historic levels in world markets. The study says the growing difference in price in lower-priced vegetable meal and higher-priced oil could cause soybean crushers to rethink their business models. Brazil says it will ask the WTO to investigate whether the U.S. is in compliance with a ruling last year to remove cotton subsidies. The decision ends weeks of speculation of whether Brazil would seek a ruling. The U.S. ended its main cotton subsidy program, called Step 2, last week. USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins says the indefinite closure of the Prudhoe Bay oil field will affect 8% of U.S. production. That's roughly 3% of daily U.S. supply. The facility was closed due to severe corrosion of an oil transit line. Meanwhile, Collins says new ag input numbers are on the way later this month, but early projections have not been good.
Fertilizer plus fuel and lube plus electricity, those three components alone, farmers would spend about $30 billion this year, and that's up from $20 billion in 2003, a 50% increase.
Collins says higher energy costs are eating into profits, but some producers are finding innovative tools to manage fuel, fertilizer, and chemical inputs.
There is variability, volatility in energy markets. You can try and buy when prices are down. You can store energy for some producers on the farm. You can try and hedge, buy forward, such as fertilizer, if you can find suppliers that will allow you to buy forward. Not every producer can find that. There's lots of technology innovations that could be implemented.
USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss said Monday he wants a U.S. sugar program continued in the 2007 Farm Bill on, in his words, a no-net cost basis. The statement puts Chambliss in opposition to proposals by sweetener users who want to convert the sugar program from one that uses domestic production allotments and protective tariffs to control supply and prices to one that would give sugar growers government payments when prices are low. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, reminding you to visit our website where the latest information on the USDA reports will be posted Friday morning if you're looking for the crop production numbers. And you can also pick up our Ag Outlook panel schedule. We'll be busy starting next week taking the analyst on the road to answer your questions. August the 16th in Tuscola, Illinois, August the 17th in Decatur, August the 19th in West Lafayette, Indiana, and a doubleheader on August the 22nd in Terre Haute, Indiana, and in Normal, Illinois. Those are just a few of the Ag Outlook panels that have been scheduled for this fall. Visit our website at willag.org for complete information.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Well, up next, USDA's crop progress reports released yesterday afternoon showed the nation's corn crop in better condition this week than last, up by one percentage point in that good and excellent category set. The soybeans held their own from week to week. 93% of that crop is blooming and 72% has set pods. That's pretty close to last year and ahead of the five-year average. Corn silking has just about been completed nationwide. 44% of the corn crop now in the dough stage and 12% dented. On average, the corn crop is ahead of schedule this season.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 6th. Hot weather prevailed across the state the first half of last week, severely stressing crops and livestock. Then a cool front moved through by Wednesday, providing some relief from the high temperatures, but only yielding sporadic rains. Temperatures averaged nearly 7 degrees above normal across the state, while rainfall totals only averaged about half of normal accumulations. Farmers in the west and southwestern regions of the state are reporting the worst conditions overall. Marginal fields in these areas had corn husks drying and ears tipping down, while soybean blooms and pods are aborting. Hay crops were also reported to be short in these areas, with pastures drying up. Other regions of the state where rainfall has been more abundant reported that crops were stressed, but adequate soil moisture has helped the crops through this hot period. Farmers in these regions are looking towards the possibility of a good harvest if normal August rains are realized. And not only were crops showing the signs of stress last week, but also in dairy herds as milk production was reduced. Taking a look at the crop progress numbers for the week, corn in the dough stage advanced to 64% compared to 61% 1 year ago and 56% for the five-year average. Corn in the dense stage was reported at 16%, which compares to 17% 1 year ago and 15% normally. Overall, average corn condition held basically steady and was rated 2% very poor, 6% poor, 22% fair, 51% good, and 19% excellent. Soybeans in the bloom stage were reported at 95%, compared to 98% 1 year ago and 93% for the five-year average. 69% of the soybean fields were setting pods, compared to 82% 1 year ago and 66% for the five-year average. Overall, the average soybean condition showed little change and was rated 2% very poor, 6% poor, 24% fair, 52% good, and 16% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending August 6th. Extremely hot weather early in the week began to stress field crops, but much welcome rains at week's end brought moisture relief and cooler temperatures. The oppressive heat persisted into the night, raising concerns about pollination in late and replanted crops. The high temperatures also raised concern about depleting the soil moisture. Fortunately for most farmers across the state, the rains lowered the temperatures, but not enough rain fell to totally recharge the topsoil moisture. Topsoil moisture was rated at 3% very short, 22% short, 71% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 3% very short, 15% short, 78% adequate, and 4% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0 to 1.49 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 98 to a low of 55 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 6 days were rated as suitable for field work. 94% of the corn acreage husked silked, compared to 99% last year at this time and 94% for the five-year average. Corn in the dough stage was reported at 41% complete, compared to 47% last year and 41% for the five-year average. 6% of the corn acreage is in the dense stage, compared to 7% last year at this time and 8% for the five-year average. Corn condition was rated at 68% good to excellent, up slightly from last week, and compared with 43% good to excellent this time last year. 83% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 95% for last year and 89% for the five-year average. 46% of the planted soybean acreage has podded, compared with 70% last year at this time, and 57% for the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated as 66% good to excellent, compared with 51% last year. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 6, 2006. Welcome rains reported statewide last week. Moisture was quickly absorbed by the soil, and more rains are needed, especially in southwestern counties where subsoil levels are shorter than normal. Strong winds in some northern counties flattened corn. Pasture and hay ground still need more than 1 week of showers to recover. The statewide average precipitation was 1.65 inches, while normal for the week is 0.95 inches. This was Iowa's wettest week since late April. Topsoil moisture rated 54%, very short or short, 45% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 68%, very short or short, and 33% adequate, and 1% surplus. The corn condition was reported as 16% very poor, 25% fair, and 59% good or excellent. This compares with a five-year average of 10% very poor, 22% fair, and 68% good or excellent. Corn in the milk stage was reported at 73%, and 29% of the corn had reached dough stage. 4% of the corn crop had reached the dent stage. The soybean condition was reported as 14% very poor, 27% fair, and 43% good or excellent. This compares with a five-year average of 9% very poor, 23% fair, and 68% good or excellent. Soybeans bloom was reported at 97%. The percentage of soybeans setting pods was 84%, ahead of the 80% report last year and the five-year average of 72%. This has been Joe Prusaki, State Director of the Iowa Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, for the Crop Progress Report for the week ending August 6, 2006.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending August 6, 2006. Widespread rain and slightly cooler temperatures improved crop conditions and soil moisture supplies in the southern third of the state. Although the north and the central areas received some precipitation, topsoil moisture supplies remained short or very short. The small grain harvest progressed rapidly as warm temperatures returned later in the week. The average temperature for the week was 74.3 degrees, 4.2 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 28% very short, 32% short, and 40% adequate. As of Sunday, August 6th, an estimated 67% of corn was in the milk stage, compared to 41% for the five-year average. Corn in the dough stage was 12% compared to 7% average. Corn condition was rated 56% good to excellent, an improvement of 8 percentage points from the previous week. Soybean setting pods were 86% compared to 56% average. Soybean crop condition was rated 60% good to excellent, an improvement of 11 percentage points. Spring wheat was 47% harvested, 34 percentage points ahead of the average. Spring wheat condition was 45% good or excellent, a slight improvement from the previous week. The sweet corn harvest was 22% complete, 11 percentage points ahead of average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending August 6th. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 7, 2006. High temperatures finally gave way over the weekend to cooler conditions and scattered showers. Irrigated corn fields rated 74% good or excellent for the week, while dry land fields only rated 22% good or excellent. Both are below last year's level. 56% of the state's corn crop was in the dough stage, and 8% had reached the dent stage. Soybean conditions rated 38% good or excellent, 95% of the acreage had bloomed, and 81% were setting pods. Sorghum conditions rated 45% good or excellent, 75% of the sorghum planted was headed. Third cutting alfalfa was 44% complete. Alfalfa conditions rated 23% good or excellent. Pastures and range conditions rated 70% poor or very poor. This has been Mark Harris, Director, USDA NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast is next.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Federal regulators say in their final environmental impact statement that building a second reactor at the Clinton Nuclear Power Station would not harm the environment. If another panel of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission agrees next year, it would give Exelon an early site permit for a second reactor. That means Exelon would have 20 years to expand the Clinton nuclear plant if it chooses to. Critics of the nuclear plant say the report doesn't address the issue of nuclear waste or concerns about the health of nearby Clinton Lake. 15 applicants for a vacant Champaign City Council seat will appear before City Council members tonight to explain why they should be chosen to fill out the term of former member Kathy Ennen. The applicants will have 5 minutes each to make their presentations. The Champaign City Council plans to choose a new interim council member next week. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation is supposed to investigate accusations of misconduct against doctors. But the state auditor general says some accusations were shelved by the staff who took the complaints, while others were sent to investigators but closed without approval from the department's disciplinary board. A woman who stole nearly $400,000 from a Danville company will serve prison time for both embezzlement and failing to pay taxes on the stolen money. 38-year-old Lori Nickel of Kingman, Indiana, received a 30-month prison sentence from a federal judge in Urbana. Nickel pleaded guilty last year to stealing from A.L. Doherty Company in Danville, where she worked. The latest prison sentence stems from her failure to report the money to the IRS over a 3-year period. AT&T is applying with the state of Indiana to provide TV service over phone lines. The service, called UVerse, is designed to compete with cable and satellite TV. The company won't say where in Indiana the service will be offered, but it could be available to up to 1 million customers. 4 penguins from the Indianapolis Zoo were killed today when the truck transporting them overturned on a Texas highway. The flightless birds were among a group of animals being transported to the Galveston Zoo while their exhibit space is being renovated. 3 of the penguins were struck by cars. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. That's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications on a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast around the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about weather here in the Midwest to begin with. Looks like it's going to be a little more comfortable tonight than it has been in recent evenings.
Yeah, going to be a little bit cooler, and the trend is going to be for temperatures actually to be right on the nose normal over the course of the next week to 10 days. Precipitation chances about the same. So we're going to have temperatures 80s for highs, 60s for lows, and occasional periods of thunderstorm activity. We'll see this with a little bit of activity tonight, tomorrow, and into Thursday, and lingering into Friday. The coverage won't get everybody. It's going to be spotty activity, but between now and the end of the weekend, we'll probably have most areas picking up a little bit of rain.
And then if you look at other trouble spots around the globe or the nation, what are you seeing?
Well, we are seeing temperatures across the central and eastern areas of the United States not returning to that extreme heat we had in late July. In fact, there will be areas east of the Great Lakes looking at actually below normal temperatures as we head into the next week or two. There's going to be a little bit of good news for some of the Dakotas. Some areas of Nebraska, southern Iowa, northern Missouri, they're going to see some precipitation and temperatures that will not be quite as hot. Now, going elsewhere across the globe into Europe, they have cooled down as well. Eastern and central Europe looking at good chances of precipitation. That includes many areas of Russia. China is trending towards a near-normal pattern with temperature and precipitation in the key growing areas there.
And how close are they to starting their harvest season?
Not far, although there are some areas where the wetness and the below-normal temperatures, especially in the southern areas, have delayed things a little bit.
Their growing season been pretty good?
It's been a little bit wet in some areas of the southern and eastern growing areas, but elsewhere it hasn't been bad.
Any place that we need to check up on, for instance, in South America, Brazil, how's the winter months, so to speak, gone there, and have they replenished soil moisture?
Well, they could use some. It's gotten a little bit dry down there recently, and that's going to be the trend for the next week or two, especially in the northern and central areas of Argentina and the growing areas of southern Brazil, although they'll start to see things picking up here as we get into September.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks much. That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. A couple things to remind you of. Next week on Tuesday, a week away, we'll be at the Illinois State Fair, hopefully come to you live from what was the old Pabst Saloon on the State Fairgrounds. Will be the U of I and other activities happening in that particular area. That's next Tuesday. If you get the opportunity, drop by and see us during the 2 o'clock hour of the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoon, and then Thursday of next week. Don't forget to drop by the South Farms here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois for the 50th anniversary of Agronomy Day, your opportunity to meet the researchers and scientists that work for the University of Illinois. and to talk to them about the kinds of things that are happening in your field and the research you'd like to see done. It all happens next week right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I and in Springfield. Oh, by the way, one other thing. Visit our website as well at willag.org. There you can pick up all kinds of information, including our next visit to the Farm Progress Show. That's in Iowa later this month. And starting next week, our Ag Outlook panels begin to pick up again on the 16th. We'll be in Tuscola, the 17th in Decatur, the 19th in Lafayette, Indiana, and Terre Haute on the 22nd, as well as Normal in Normal, Illinois on the 22nd. So lots happening here at WILL Ag, and it's all because you asked for it, and we're working to make sure that you in the agribusiness world have information that you need right here at WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason for Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming. You have a great afternoon.